Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
My lips and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the tournament known as March Madness is coming to a close over the next couple of days, and I'll be honest, I filled out one of those brackets this year, and it did not go very well. Anyone fill out one of those brackets for March Madness this year? Well, mine did not go well at all. In fact, I did not get a single one of my final four guesses correct. I think that's the first time that's ever happened. In case you haven't seen the actual final four, here it is. The one seed Amazing Grace, of course, made a really deep run. I probably should have guessed that. Also in the final four, How Great Thou Art, It Is Well had several upsets along the way, and rounding out the final four was Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Seeing a couple looks of confusion out there, did you think I was talking about some other bracket other than this Best Hymns bracket that I've been following online? And as I said, I just did not do well. None of my final four are up there. None of those are amongst my favorite four hymns, actually, which means objectively speaking, this is wrong. The correct four final four should have been these, my favorite four hymns. My favorite hymn is How Firm a Foundation, followed by Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying, not calling, but crying. Then there's Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And rounding out the final four, Be Still My Soul, the Noah Gunderman edition of that one, of course. I love these hymns. Anyone see one of their favorite four up there right now? Raise your hand. If your hand is in the air, I'll tell you, you got some great taste when it comes to choosing out your favorite hymns, especially if your favorite is How Firm a Foundation. I love this hymn because of its beautiful music, and not just that, it's got incredible life-giving words throughout it. Interestingly enough, as I looked at our three readings today, I couldn't help but notice that each one of them either has lyrics directly from How Firm a Foundation or talks about the importance of building on a certain firm foundation. With that in mind, we're going to do something a little different with today's message. We're going to have a couple questions of the day. That's not different. I do that all the time. But how we're going to answer them is a little different. Our questions of the day are this. Who or what is the firm foundation upon which we are to build our lives? And second, what benefits do we receive when we build upon that firm foundation? And the way we're going to go about answering these questions is through the power of music. What we are going to do is we are going to sing a verse together of this most excellent hymn, How Firm a Foundation, as a congregation. And when we finish each verse, I'm going to spend some time preaching on what that verse and all the Bible verses in it, because each one of these verses is chock full of Bible verses. I'm going to spend some time preaching on what that tells us regarding our questions of the day. I really hope this works out. If it doesn't, I'm sorry. I will never try to do something like this ever again. But we are indeed fully committed. Noah, if you would lead us through verse 1 of How Firm a Foundation.
How firm a foundation, O saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, who unto their Savior for refuge have fled.
Well, in that first verse alone, we already get a pretty good hint as to the answer of question of the day number one. Who or what is that firm foundation upon which we are to build our lives? The hymn says it's laid for your faith in His excellent word. So God's word is that firm foundation upon which we are to build our lives, which begs the question, what is it talking about when it says God's word? The easy answer is to say the Bible, right? You say, Pastor, you should know what God's word is. It's the Bible. You should really know something like that. But I'll tell you that the Bible also refers to God's word as the work and person of Jesus Christ. We see that in passages like John chapter 1, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." In other words, God's word, the Bible, tells us that God's word is Jesus Christ. And when we combine that thought with 1 Corinthians 3:11, which says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ," I think we can easily say that the answer to question of the day number one is Jesus. He is the firm foundation upon which we are to build our lives. And he becomes our firm foundation, by the way, when we live out the words of Romans 10:9. When we declare with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved, and he is our firm foundation. When we believe that Jesus not only died on the cross, but he did it for us personally, for you personally, that is when he is your firm foundation. And we build on that foundation by responding to that incredible sacrifice, by making what he wants our top priority, by doing the things that he wants us to do, which begs the question, what does God want from you? Well, first and foremost, he wants you to have faith, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But if you want to build on that foundation of Jesus Christ, you got to keep on asking that question, Lord, what would you have me do? How should I respond to your incredible love with what you have entrusted to me? With my treasure, my time, my talents, my family, my job, whatever it is. And as you do those things, you are building on the firm foundation of Jesus. As you do those things, you're going to receive all kinds of incredible benefits that God promises to you as we build our lives upon Christ. Benefits that verses 2-5 of our song today talks all about. Noah, if you would lead us in verse 2.
Feel not I am with you, be not dismayed, for I am your God and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, will pause to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand.
Second verse, probably my second favorite verse in that entire song. It's incredible. And in case you didn't know, verse 2 of How Firm a Foundation is just Isaiah 41:10 put to music. This should sound familiar. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10 starts off with a command and a promise. Fear not, I am with you. Fear not is actually a command that God gives us. We are told some 80 times in the Bible to not be afraid. Now, my friends, that is a difficult command to live out at times. There are times when this won't come easy to you. There are times when everyone here has struggled with fear or some kind of anxiety. If that is you, I want you to know you're not alone, right? And I'm not just talking about the people that surround you in the pews right now. You're not alone because God promises that he is with you. That phrase, "I am with you," appears in the Bible directly right around 23 times. It is an incredible promise. And it should help us overcome our fears, because if God is for us, who can be against us? As I was studying for this sermon this week, in one of my commentaries, it had this to say about Romans 8:31, and I thought it was just so spot on. It said, if God is for us, then no one or nothing can successfully oppose God's plans for our lives. And later on, it said, we need not fear when others do. God has an ultimate plan for you. And as you put your trust in him, nothing, nothing will defeat that plan of your omnipotent God. You have a God who loves you incredibly much. He proved that on the cross, in case you didn't know that. And that God who loves you so much is also omnipotent. That's a word that was in our hymn here. That means he is all-powerful. And that all-powerful God is working things for your good out of his incredible love for you. Fear not. With that omnipotent hand, he's also strengthening you, helping you, and causing you to stand. I don't know if Isaiah knew this when he wrote this passage here, but he was given a pretty good nod to the Sermon on the Mount, a little parable that Jesus taught in Matthew 7:24-27 that has everything to do with the firm foundation. Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now I will have you notice something about that parable here. The same storm hit both of the houses, there was just very different results. The truth is, rain falls on the good and evil alike. Sometimes followers of Jesus are under the misconception that life is going to be all smooth sailing because they have put their trust in God. They shouldn't experience any trials as their all-powerful God intervenes each and every time. But in the Bible, Jesus promises otherwise. John 16:33, right? He says, in this world, you will have trouble. There are trials as part of living in a sinful and fallen world. And believers and non-believers are going to go through some of the same trials. We're all going to face things like sickness, job loss, personal tragedies, etc., etc., etc. But when you put your faith in Jesus, you trust in him, you give those trials over to him, rather than despair and falling apart, what his promise here is that you're going to have a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that makes no sense, the peace of knowing that God has a plan and a purpose behind whatever you are going through. As we trust in God and build on that firm foundation, we get a peace that the world just does not get. Now, putting our trust in Jesus is not something that comes naturally to us. We are not born naturally trusting Jesus. It takes practice. But the more you practice this, the more you give your trials, your issues, whatever it is you're going through over to him, you're going to experience his trustworthiness. And as you see how trustworthy he is, it's going to grow your faith and you're going to trust him more and more in the future. I think you already saw it. We are on to verse number 3 here. Noah, if you would lead us through that.
The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake.
I'll keep this one a little simpler here. The hymn says that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake. I want you to understand something. Satan is real. Demons are real. You are going to face spiritual attacks. It is foolishness to think that Satan is not real. On the other hand, it is the height of foolishness to think that he is on the same level as our all-powerful God. He is not anywhere close to God. I like the way that C.S. Lewis put it. He said, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the demons. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors. Satan is real. You should be ready for spiritual attack. But he is not God's equal in any way, shape, or form. God is infinitely up here. Satan is infinitely down there. And that all-powerful God, he is with you, right? So fear not Satan's attacks as you put your trust in Jesus to defend you. Jesus guards against the attacks of Satan in all kinds of ways. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that he gives us an escape route each and every time we are tempted. There is always a way out. Pastor Clark talked about that at length just a few weeks ago. Jesus also guards against the attacks of Satan by protecting us directly from those attacks, according to 2 Thessalonians 3:3. I would hazard a guess that we have no idea how many times Jesus or his angels have intervened and protected us from Satan's attacks, and we had no idea it even happened. We just went on living our lives. Jesus also guards us against the attacks of Satan by giving us his Holy Spirit, through which we get that spiritual armor that Ephesians 6:10 through 17 talks about. He also gives us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which penetrates to bone and marrow. It slices apart Satan's lies as they come at us as we read and understand and trust in God's word, the Bible. He defends us in all kinds of incredible ways against the attacks of Satan. And that's not all he does. Noah, if you would sing verse 4 for us.
When through fiery trials your pathway will lie, thy grace all sufficient will be your supply. The flames will not hurt you, I only design your dross to consume and your coal to fry.
That is my favorite verse right there. I could have definitely preached a whole sermon. And it talks about those trials that we've been talking about already. In this world, you will have trouble, right? We will face trials, and some of them will be pretty fiery trials. But as we put our trust in Jesus and build on that firm foundation, he does something incredible with those trials that we inevitably go through. He uses them for our good. He uses them to build our faith, and he uses them to build the faith of those around us. This is a promise we see over and over again in the Bible. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. James 1:2 through 4 maybe says it even better. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Our trials make us more mature, more complete. They build our faith. As we go through trials, they help us grow and they help us trust in God all the more. When you're going through a trial, it causes you to trust God because sometimes they are so big that you cannot handle it yourself. You have to give them over to your all-powerful God. And as I said, when you do that, you're going to see just how trustworthy he is. And it's going to grow your faith. And it also grows others' faiths as we go through trials, by the way, just as well. The end of that verse talks about your dross to consume and your gold to refine. This is a nod forward to 1 Peter 1:7, which says this. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. What Peter is talking about here is called the refiner's fire. And what a refiner's fire did is it took a precious metal and it melted it down. But it didn't destroy that precious metal. It simply burned away all of the impurities that were there in that silver or in that gold. And it left a far purer substance behind. This is what Jesus promises happens in our trials as we put our trust in him. Our trials burn away our impurities and make our lives look more and more like Jesus to those around us. And we act as an incredible light in the world, an incredible witness. And St. John's family, I'm telling you, I have seen this over and over again, and I have seen it from you. I'll go to visit some of you in the hospital, and you'll still be at peace. You'll still be smiling. You'll still be treating the staff so well, even though you might be having the worst day of your life. And the staff, the doctors, the nurses, they will comment on this kind of behavior. I promise you, that is not what they are used to seeing on an everyday basis. They'll say, wow, there is something different about that person. And then I'll get to say what's different. Maybe you'll get to say what's different. I'll get to say, yeah, Jesus is what's different about that person. They have put their trust in him as their firm foundation. And so they're not going to be shaken through this storm of life. And when you do things like that, like I said, it's powerful. You act as a light in the world, an incredible witness that help other people get closer to Jesus through your trials. And then we get verse number 5 here. Noah, if you would lead us through that.
Throughout all their lifetime, by people ill through, thy sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And then when gray hairs will their temples adorn, thy plans they will still in my bosom be born.
First part of that verse, that's what we've been talking about just now, right? Throughout all their lifetime, my people will prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. As we put our trust in Jesus, like I said, we are a powerful, powerful witness through our trial. And the second part of that verse, it's what happens when we go home. When gray hairs will their temples adorn, like lambs they will still in my bosom be born. That is the promise of life eternal, heaven, and all the blessings that come with having an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. And once again, who is that for? It's for anyone who lives out the words of Romans 10:9, who declare with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised them or him from the dead. They will be saved. Jesus is their firm foundation. Now you might be thinking, Pastor, what if I struggle with some of the things you've been talking about throughout this message? What if there are times when I struggle to trust in Jesus through my trials and I'm afraid? What if there are times when I'm really crabby when I'm going through trials and I don't act as a good witness to those around me? What if there are times when I choose to protect myself rather than let God protect me? If that's you, and that's going to be all of us at some point, hear the words of 1 Corinthians 3:15, our reading today. It says, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. If you struggle with those things, Jesus still loves you. He forgives you, right? He is still your firm foundation as you put your trust in him as your personal Lord and Savior. But it does say the builder will suffer loss, right? When we don't do the things that Jesus wants us to do, when we make other things our top priority other than his will, that's sin, right? And sin does have consequences. When we don't trust in the storm, the consequence is what? We're going to be afraid rather than have peace. When we are crabby, when we're going through trials, what's the consequence? What's the loss? We won't be quite as good of a witness, will we? And when we choose to protect ourselves rather than let God protect us, the protection's not going to be quite as good. Of course, at the end of the day, though, it's not a matter of our salvation. You will be saved. Of course, as we close out this message, my prayer for you, though, is this. May Jesus not simply be your firm foundation, but may you go out from here and build your lives on him, doing the things that he wants you to do, putting your trust in him all the more. And as you put your trust in that firm foundation, may you see these blessings all the more. Peace in the storm, God's protection, and may you see your trials bringing you and others closer to Jesus. Thanks be to Jesus, thanks to the firm foundation. May you experience this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.